We're in the book of Matthew chapter 5, and I want to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read three verses to you today. Amen. I know some of you are having a hard time digesting the 70 roses and the 70 candles. I'll probably have to take a sabbatical or a fiesta in the middle of it, being 70 years old, but it was a very sweet gathering last night. I enjoyed it so much. We're in chapter 5 of Matthew, and we're going to read verse 14 through 16, three verses. And last week, we only ministered from verse 13 about the salt of the earth. And today, we're going to be looking at the light of the world. Verse 14, 15, and 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to use for a subject this morning the light of the world. You may be seated. In our preaching last Sunday, we only shared verse 13, and we talked about the salt of the earth. And I explained to you that the salt of the earth is actually the Christian. Lost people are not the salt of the earth. People that don't know Christ cannot be the salt of the earth because they're dead. They're decomposing. Their life is not full of life. They're not Christians. But Christians are the salt of the earth. And salt is a preservative. It keeps, you know, we're holy unto the Lord because Jesus Christ has offered the ultimate sacrifice on the cross of Calvary by his blood and by his death and resurrection from the grave. And so we as people who preserve the truth of God, like salt preserves, we are preserved by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. And then we are to bring out the flavor in people's lives. Christians are supposed to be tasty. Amen? Bring out the flavor in life. And Christians should be able to do that. And just, but I want to explain something to you before we get started. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. But Jesus never said that he was the salt of the earth. And the reason Jesus never said that he was the salt of the earth is because Jesus needed no preserving. He needed no healing. But ye are the salt of the earth. We needed preserving. We needed healing. We need to be preserving the truth. And we need to be bringing healing to those because salt heals also. We need to bring healing to those around us. But Jesus Christ did claim to be the light of the world. He wasn't the salt of the earth, but he is the light of the world. And I want to explain this light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. And he says, a city that's set on a, that talks about the light of the world, and he said, you don't, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, Jesus is on the mountain slope on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. He's there at the Mount of Olives, and he's teaching his disciples. And if you look around, there was three different cities, you could say. Maybe Capernaum he was referring to when he said a city set on the hill could not be hid. Maybe he was pointing to Capernaum. Others said that maybe he was pointing to Jerusalem. But obviously the city probably was Sephath, because Sephath was a very prosperous city and was high above in the mountains, so you could look up and see the city at any time. And so Jesus Christ was saying a city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Why? Because it's lit up. And Jesus Christ is going to light us up and has, and we are a city. We are the New Jerusalem. We are Mount Zion. God has come to us and he literally lit us up. And we are now, Jesus Christ said, the light of the world. And when you stop and think about the light of the world, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. So nobody doubts the fact that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We know in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, that God is light, and there is no darkness in him. We know, according to James chapter 1, verse 7, that every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of light. So we know that God is light. We know that there's no darkness in him. We know that Jesus is the light of the world. And we know that there's no shadow in turning with Jesus, because he's the Father of lights. And so Jesus Christ is not from beneath. He's from above. And that's another reason he's not referred to as salt, but he's the light of the world. I want to share some things with you today that really spoke to my spirit. When I got to thinking about what was happening when he talked about you are the light of the world. Now, you have to understand, in the time of Jesus, that's way back there, they didn't have flashlights. They didn't have light bulbs. They didn't have spotlights. They had candles. They had torches. They have little bonfires. And they had lamps. And so when Jesus Christ told them, you are the light of the world, I think the first thing they thought of was this: if we are, we're in trouble. I think they thought that. And how many know Jesus came to people that were in trouble? And so when you think about what they used for light then, they would use a oil lamp for short traveling, just to go outside the house for a little bit. They would use a round oil lamp, which was actually called a round lamp oil, that they used in the house because it held more oil. And by the way, that's olive oil they're burning. And then they used if they were going to go out for a long distance with a group of people, they would use a torch. And then in the house, if they really wanted a prolonged light in the house, they used a candle. So those are the four different forms of light, actually a lamp, a candle, and then a torch. And so when Jesus Christ said to them, you are the light of the world, I think immediately they thought to themselves, we better get a bigger light. We got to get a bigger light. If we're going to light up the world, we better have a bigger light. Amen? You know, I often wondered, I asked Brother Darrell to turn the candles on for more than one reason. But the Bible says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's something about the flame of fire that it always points up. Notice, it always points up. You turn it sideways, there we go, and it points up. You turn it this way, and it points up. The fire of God always points up. And something else about the fire, it never leaves a shadow. If I put this candlestick up against a white wall, all you'll see is the candle and the candle stand. The flame is not in the shadow, because fire does not produce a shadow. A picture of God is fire, or the light of the world. I often wonder what the 10 virgins used. This is an oil lamp. This is the clay pottery oil lamp. This is the actual version of the 10 virgins lamp. You say, well, it's really small. Well, this is a 4-inch one. I think the biggest they've excavated is 5 inches. So it had to be that they would hold it in their hand like this, and that would be their light. Actually, this lamp will work. You put olive oil in it and light it, and it'll burn. It will actually work. And so the 10 virgins, this is what they took with them. The wives took a vessel with them so they could refill it and keep it burning. It was a different wick, obviously. It was probably some type of rope that had wax weaved into it. But nonetheless, they would trim that rope, the 10 virgins there, or at least the 5 foolish did, in Matthew chapter 25. And so you think about this lamp, and I think they're thinking, when Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world, they're thinking, oh boy, we're going to need a bigger light. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Then Jesus began to clarify it, and he said, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid, meaning in a city doesn't have just one residence. It has a multiplied, a big population. And because it has such a big population, the city's lit up. So Jesus is trying to say, I'm pulling together a city on a hill. I'm going to bring together believers. They're going to follow me. And they're going to be so lit up that they're going to bring light like a city set on a hill cannot be hid. I think about this lamp, and that isn't that a cute little feller? I say it's cute. If I had to use that back, 2,000 years ago, I'd hate it. But I'm sure they packed a little wax around it and filled it up, and it actually burns. I'm going to try it because it says it works, so I'm going to try it. But anyway, you think about the lamp. And by the way, it couldn't be much bigger than that simply because with the oil in it, it would be heavy. And so it had to be something they could just hold in their hand, move about as they could walk, individual light. How many know that individual light is what each one of us needs? I got up in the middle of the night and I decided I was going to go to the kitchen. Who needs to turn on the light? I know my way. And just by accident, Judy left one little chair hanging out. And the Lord said, I want an illustration. I didn't know the Lord was going to get one, but he getting it. And here I am walking around in the dark. And I about bushwhacked, took off my big toe. Man, I talked in tongues for 30 minutes. You think about it, and you consider Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. And so he's telling them, okay, you're the light of the world. Now in chapter 8, he said in verse 12, I am the light of the world. So we've got the big reservoir of light. Jesus Christ lives inside of us. Now we are the light of the world. And how many know things have been lit up since Jesus Christ came into the world? The world is lit up. Amen. We live in a day and time when there's no excuse to be in the dark. No excuse at all. Right? Let me just quickly say this. A little boy that's scared of the dark, a little girl that's scared of the dark, I don't have a problem with that. You don't have a problem with that. But an adult that's afraid of the light is a disgusting mess. Did you know there are people afraid of the light? I'm talking about God's light. I want you to notice in John chapter 3, Jesus Christ said that there are those that are afraid and do not like the light. John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, and this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Now, if you walk into a dark room and it's not a sanitary place, it's not clean, and you turn the light on, there'll be little black things scurrying to cracks. They're called cockroaches. And they run everywhere when the light's turned on. And that's the picture you have here. People would rather be in darkness than be in light. And there are those, the little child is afraid of the dark, but yet the adult that's afraid of the light of God is full of condemnation. And he's insecure, and he has a terrible problem in his life. Because people don't want to hear the truth because it eats at them, it gnaws at them, like termites, guilty termites, eating away at their conscience and their spirit because they don't want to hear from God. Now, I want to hear from God. How many want to hear from God? I want to hear from God. But there are those that do not want to hear from God so bad that they'll cross the street and walk around the other way to keep from meeting me. Have you ever had anybody avoid you like that? Avoid you because you're walking in the store and they avoid you? And it's not because you haven't had a bath. It's because you're full of God's word. And people are afraid and they don't want to get near you. I love my personal flashlight when I'm going to go outside. I love to be able to take a flashlight with me when I go outside because I want to be able to see, obviously. I remember when two of my older brothers decided to take Tim and I snipe hunting. And Tim and I were taken snipe hunting. We were told by Stephen and Galen that we're going to take you out snipe hunting. I said, well, what's a snipe? And they said, it's a little furry creature. I'm thinking, yeah, it probably giggles and purrs when you catch it. I'm going to go snipe hunting. So they took us out snipe. But I was just young enough that I didn't know what snipe hunting was. And Tim was younger than I. So, you know, it really wasn't embarrassing to us. We had a ball. I mean, they gave me a flashlight. I'm a little boy. They gave me a flashlight. Then they gave me a stick to beat stuff with. And then they said, scream and yell. Now, what little boy isn't going to have a blast if he's got a flashlight, a stick, and he can yell and holler? And boy, I had a blast. Tim and I just had a thrill. I'll not go into all the details of the possum hunt we got, but anyway, we didn't get no snipes. But I want to say to everyone in this room, that if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're always going to be in the dark. You're always going to be in the dark if you don't have Jesus Christ. You're not going to know what to do in life. You're going to be afraid in life. You're going to be fearful and afraid. Notice what it says here in verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick. It giveth light unto all that is in the house. Yes, the candle's used for the house. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now let's preach a little bit. Let your light so shine. I look at some people in this room that you need to so shine. Turn to that one you beside and say, you need a show shine. You need so shine. Amen? And the Bible says that we are to so shine, our light is to so shine, that what we do, the good works we do, glorifies our Father in heaven. We're to shine on in the darkness. We are to shine. We're to let our light shine. When a dark moment comes, when dark counsel comes, so shine. When hellish problems hit your home, so shine. When tragedy comes upon your family and maybe a death in the family, so shine. When you get depressed, so shine. When you get in a place where you don't know where to turn, so shine. Because when you so shine, it brings light on the issue and it brings joy to one's soul and it thrills your heart because you know that you're not in darkness. When dark counsel comes, let your light shine. When things all around you, when hell breaks forth in your life, let your light shine. When disaster comes, let your light shine. I want you to know that we as Christians have no excuse to ever be in the dark because God has put his own light inside of us. No Christian should have to ever be in the darkness of fear. No Christian should ever have to be in the darkness of sin. No Christian should ever have to be in the darkness of despair. No Christian should ever be in the darkness of turmoil. No Christian should ever be in the darkness of worry and regret. No Christian should ever be in the darkness of his past. No Christian should ever be in the darkness of upheaving in their life. Every Christian, God has put inside of you not only salt to preserve your life and to keep you, but light to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Light to lighten your way. Light to take you through. Light to bring you over. No Christian should be in a place where you're in darkness. Thank God I'll never be in darkness. I've got Jesus Christ as my Savior. We're never going to be in darkness. Some of you don't know who I'm talking about because you maybe haven't had a history of our presidents. But Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president of the United States, Woodrow Wilson, lived in the time of D.L. Moody. And Woodrow Wilson just happened to be going to a barber shop to get his hair cut. And so Woodrow Wilson, the President of the United States, is sitting in a barber chair, and they're cutting his hair, and all of a sudden somebody walks in, and of course, Woodrow Wilson didn't see him because they were giving him a shave and all that. And this man walked in. He said, when he walked in, I could feel a presence that I've never felt before. He said, this person sat down in the chair beside me. And while I was listening to him talk to the one cutting his hair, it sounded like the one in the chair was concerned about the barber. He was talking to the barber about Jesus Christ. He was telling the barber about how God loved him. And he said, I didn't know who he was, but after he left the barber shop, Woodrow Wilson said, there was just a hush in the place, just the presence of God everywhere. And he said, I asked, who was that man? And they said, well, that's Mr. D.L. Moody. He said, oh. He said, I just discovered that I had been in an evangelistic campaign meeting in the barber shop. See, the presence of the Lord. Wherever we go, we ought to bring the presence of the Lord. Amen? Moses told God, I'm not going anywhere without your presence. I'm not going. We're not going. If you don't go, I'm not going. I'm not going anywhere without your presence. And so Moses went with the presence of God. And I was praying this morning and saying, Lord, please give us your presence in the singing. Give us your presence, your sweet anointing in our lives. And go with us and use us, and let there be a touch about, let there be something different about us. We're lit up. We're people that bring flavor like salt brings flavor. And we just, you know, we want to, when we walk into some place, people ought to recognize the fact that we are different, that God has done something different in our life because we have been lit up. They sing the song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. Kind of brings new meaning to the little lamp, doesn't it? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And in every area of our life, we need to realize that God wants to shine his light into our life, because God wants to burn out anything that brings darkness into our life. Anything that brings darkness into your life, sin brings darkness, doesn't it? Rebellion brings darkness, doesn't it? Fear brings darkness, doesn't it? Being disobedient brings darkness. Being angry and losing your temper around people brings darkness. Hiding things from people because you're afraid that it'll be in the light. There's darkness in your life. And what you need is you need a flood light. His name is Jesus Christ. He needs to flood out the bitterness, flood out the sin. Jesus Christ needs to flood out the despair, flood out the unbelief, flood out the agony and the sins in your life. Let the light of Jesus Christ just, like a floodlight, just burn everything out. When God's presence comes into the place and begins to flow through the place, there is things that begin to happen. And you feel the anointing of God in your life, and you feel the grace of God in your life, because the light of the world, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. I said he's the light of the world. I praise God that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And no matter what happens in my life, I'll never have to be in darkness. I want to tell you, friends, you need to soul shine when you're having a hard time. And Jesus Christ will come upon you, and he'll shine his blessing upon you. Jesus Christ is not out to put you in the dark. He's there to bring you into the light. Because the light of God is powerful. Gentle, yes. Powerful, yes. The light of God is both attractive and gentle and powerful. You know, when I walked in here, light travels over 186,000 miles per second. When I walked in here and turned the lights on in this auditorium, you know, we've got walls, four walls here, but that light traveled over 186,000 miles per second, and when it hit them walls, it didn't do a thing to them. It just gently folded back in. and drove out all the darkness everywhere. Amen? Let me tell you a creepy story that's not creepy, okay? This is a creepy story that's not creepy. You never see a shadow, fingers coming up under a door in a dark room trying to crawl out from under that crack in the door. If the light's out in a room, you never see dark fingers, shadow fingers coming out trying to work its way out. What you see is light trying to filter into that room. And if you're in that dark room and you open the door and the room adjacent to it is lit up. When you open that dark room and open that door, what happens? The darkness doesn't overtake the light, but the light in that lit up room overtakes the darkness. And when you open up your life to Jesus Christ and open the door to Jesus Christ, darkness must go. Darkness must leave. Amen. Darkness will flee from you, because the power of light is beautiful, attractive, powerful, and it does it with so much ease. You say, it's so hard to be delivered. No, it's not. When the light floods in, it's ease. Amen. I love the fact that light takes over when the door is opened. You may be living in a dark room right now, and you may even feel at times that darkness has got you controlled and you can't help yourself. You can't get out of it. But I'm here to tell you that if you'll just open the door to Jesus Christ, if you'll open the door to your Father that's a Christian, open the door to your mother that's a Christian, open the door to your grandparents that are Christians. If you'll just open your door to your brother or sister that's a Christian, if you'll just open your door to me as a pastor, if you'll just open your door with no strings attached, just open your door, I promise you the light of Jesus Christ will penetrate that dark room, and God will make it so easy for you that you will overcome, because light is more powerful than darkness. Darkness never wins. That's good stuff. Darkness never wins. Amen. Now, I told you I'd give you a creepy, not so creepy story. Visualize yourself in this dark room, and there's a lighted room next door, and you can see the light at the base of the door, at the floor of the door. You can see the light, but you're in this pitch dark room. The shadow and shadow fingers are not going to leap up under the door and try to get you. But I'll tell you what will happen. If there's a lit room next to the room that you're in that's dark, you're going to see lit fingers come up under that door, and you're going to see the light. Hey, even our fingers are lit up as Christians. I mean, everywhere we go, there's light. Everywhere we turn, there's light. But too many Christians today, they've got the disco light going. Hello? Too many Christians today, they got a dimmer light. And when they get around a crowd, they dim down. The Bible says we're to so shine. Everybody say so shine. Some of you need a so shine. Like some of your shoes, they need to be so shined. But we need a so shine. And we need to not put a dimmer switch on it. We need to pull out no restraints. Just be what we're supposed to be. Lit up, serving God. Don't hit the dimmer switch when you come across a sinner. Don't hit the dimmer switch afraid you're going to blind his eyes. They're already blind. Just leave the light burning. Leave, because the light of God is more powerful than the darkness all the time. Woo! All the time. I don't want to sound too crude, but this is a historical fact. Nero, the same king, emperor of Rome, Nero, the same emperor that beheaded Paul, the apostle, historians say, Nero in his later years of his monarch, his rulership of Rome, he lost it. He got senile. He got diseased in brain. And he was already a bad person. Then he turned into an evil person. Then he turned into this downright insane, wicked person. And he had heard that Jesus was the light of the world. He was one of those men that was afraid of the dark. But he was also afraid of the light. He had heard that Jesus was the light of the world. And let me say this. If you're going to live in sin, you're going to always be afraid. If you're going to, until you surrender to Jesus Christ, there's no peace to the wicked, saith my God. And so Nero had heard that Christians were the light of the world. And so out of mockery, he took Christians and he dipped them in tar or oil, and he burned them on stakes to be the street lights of Rome. He burned thousands of Christians on lampposts to light the streets of Rome. God's not asking us to do that. All he's asking us to do is shine for Jesus. God's not asking us to do that. And, you know, I have no doubt they have a beautiful reward in heaven that suffered that. I have no doubt that God gave them grace. And if God wanted you to go through the same thing, God would give you grace to do that. You say, well, how about you? He ain't give me grace yet. Just don't push it. But you need to understand that you're going to burn. If you don't burn for Jesus, if you don't let Jesus burn the sin out of your life, the drought out of your life, if you don't burn for Jesus, a more wicked than Nero will rise. A more wicked than insanity and evil dictator will rise. You're already serving him if you're sinning. His name is the devil, and you are the father. Your father is the devil, and the works of the devil you will do. And ultimately, you will burn. You will burn in hell forever. You say, well, preacher, I didn't want to hear that. Well, you're sitting in the wrong chair today. I do believe in hell. I believe in heaven. I believe that there's the wages of sin is death. But there's no reason for you to die and burn in hell. There's no reason for you to live in sin, because light is a gentleman. Light is gentle. Light is attractive. Light is powerful. Light is overwhelmingly good. And he wants you to just open the door to your dark room. He just wants you to open the door to your dark room. That's all you need to do, is open the door to your dark room. Well, you know, I'll serve the Lord, but I'm not going to open this door. You know, I'll come to church, but I'm not going to open this door. Jesus can have every room in the house, but this one door, I'm not opening. Listen, you better go through the door opening business and let the light flood every area in your life. You better let the light flood your room that you live in, that room where you do things that you would never tell your parents about, that room that you do things that you would never tell your grandparents about, that room that you do things that you would never tell anyone about, that room that you do things, that dark room that you do things that is embarrassing, that you wouldn't want anyone to know. You better open that door. I don't mean open that door to us, but open that door to Jesus Christ and let him gently and powerfully and incredibly move into that dark room and drive out all the darkness, because darkness cannot stand light. Light takes over wherever it is allowed to enter in. I'm sure glad the light has flooded my heart. I'm glad the light has flooded your heart. Sure glad that God has given me light. When I was a little boy, I loved playing with a flashlight. I learned one of the greatest toys you could give to children as a present is to just give them a flashlight. You give a little boy, a little girl a flashlight, and I'll tell you what, you couldn't give them anything better than a flashlight. I mean, a flashlight, I mean, that is the ultimate gift to a child. The batteries will be dead in just a day, but it's an ultimate gift to a child. And this little boy was using his flashlight, turned it off and on and off and on. He went in his dark room. He shut the door, turned out all the lights, and he's like, flip that flashlight on. That brings me to a story. My son, Ben, we all called him B, and he's a physicist, and no telling what he's doing. But when he was a little boy, he loved the Lord, and he always read his Bible. And one day, we were living in Sparta, and upstairs, I heard B sobbing. I heard him crying. And the lights were out in the bedroom, and the covers were over his head, and he was sobbing. And I took my hand and pulled the blanket back, and he had a flashlight. And he was reading his Bible. I said, son, what are you doing? He said, I forgot to read my Bible. I treasure that. And the little boy's turning his flashlight on and off, and they said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm punching holes in the darkness. You know what we need to do as Christians? We need to punch holes in the darkness. When we find someone that's darkened with sin, we need to punch holes in the darkness. When we find someone that is incredibly ignorant about who God really is, we need to punch holes in the darkness. When we find someone that is so deceived in their living that we need to learn to punch holes in the darkness. We need to have our light with us, and we need to just punch holes in the darkness. When people are ignorant about the things of God, just punch holes in the darkness. When things are happening in people's lives, just punch holes in the darkness. Did you know punching holes in the darkness of people's excuses works well? You just punch a hole in the darkness. Just remove the dark. Just punch a hole. I mean, you want to know why? A flashlight, the darkness can't even handle a flashlight. Amen. 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 In fact, a lightning bug. Just fly into the air, just dark as can be. Beep, 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 beep. And every time that little lightning bug flashes its light, darkness scatters. Amen? I said this a few days ago. The lightning bug is a bright little fella that, though it doesn't have any mind, it goes through life with its headlights on behind. And we can't look behind. We need to look forward. And when we meet people that's in darkness, we need to shine the light. You say, what's going to happen when I open the door? Doesn't accept your dark room is going to lighten up, going to be lit up. What's going to happen when I come to Jesus? The power of God, you're just going to be lit up with joy. When you come to Jesus, you're just going to be lit up. Darkness is going to flee. When you repent of your sin and call out to Jesus Christ and ask him to take over your life, maybe you can't stop this sinning. Maybe you can't stop this darkness in your life. Maybe you can't win, but Jesus Christ can so easily, just like light, turn the light on. The shadow leaves. The darkness leaves. And it can be that quick, the speed of light. It can just flow through and be delivered. You say, well, what happens if I open my door and the light comes in and I find myself shutting the door and being in the darkness again? Just keep opening doors. I mean, go into door opening business. Just make a career, a Christian career, out of opening doors to let the light shine in your life. Amen? Because when that light comes in, it's peaceful. When that light comes in, it's helpful. When that light comes in, it will do what you cannot do. The light will do what you cannot do. I remember when I first got saved, I was 23 years old. And I drank all the time. I was not an alcoholic, I was a drunkard. Alcoholics have to attend them stupid meetings, and I didn't attend the meetings. I was just a drunkard. You say, how do you know you're a drunkard? Because I would have beer and clear vodka on the table stand beside me, and I'd wake up in the night, I'd drink it. 24 hours a day that I was awake, in the time that I was awake, I was always drinking. Always drunk. And the Spirit of God began to convict me. And the Spirit of God began to move in my life. And I opened the door. And when I opened the door, I began to cry out to God, God, please, I want to live forever. God, please, I want to go to heaven. God, please. I don't know how to quit sinning. I don't know how to quit doing what I'm doing. I don't know how to quit drinking. And I just opened the door and said, Jesus, please, come into my life. For 3 weeks, I pleaded with God. I couldn't eat or sleep. And I just, for 3 weeks, I just asked God, please, just bring me peace and bring me joy in my life. And it suddenly dawned on me 3 weeks later that I had forgotten to cuss. I had forgotten to drink. I had forgotten to do all those sins. It just like gently and powerfully, God removed it from my life. And I wasn't even aware that I was lit up. Maybe that's the kind of deliverance you need. Maybe that's what you need. You need to just open your door and let the light come in. Because the light of God is the thing that will give you peace in your heart and in your life. Amen. Like the little boy that's afraid of the dark, we can understand that. The little boy, we can understand that's afraid of the dark. But the adult, the grown man, that's afraid of the light is a real peace. It's a real piece of work of the devil. And you, my friend, if you're afraid of God, the only reason you're afraid of God is because you've sinned. The only reason you're afraid of God is because there's sin in your life. The only reason you're afraid of God is because there's sin in your life. The only reason you don't want God, if you're not afraid of God, the only reason you don't want God is because there's sin in your life. The only reason that you don't want to hear from the Lord and don't want to receive the light, you're wanting to hide. You want to hide in the cracks. You want relief, but you don't want ultimate relief. You want help, but you don't want ultimate help. But I'm here to tell you, it's not a little bit of relief that you need. It's not a little bit of help that you need. It's the ultimate power of the light of God that will drive out the darkness in your life. And you've got to lay it down. Lay that sin down. Lay that sin aside. Lay that anger aside. Lay that ego aside. Lay aside that anger, that fit of rage. Lay aside that disharmony. Lay aside that confusion and open the door and say, my God, I need some light here. I'm in the darkness. God, I need some light here. I'm in the darkness. God, I need some light here. I'm in the darkness. God, I need some light here. I'm in the darkness. And if you'll say, God, I need some light here, God will flood your soul. He'll come to you and he'll deliver you and he'll bless your soul. Just amazing. It's just amazing what God can do in your life. And many times he does it and you don't even know he's doing it. Isn't that beautiful? I didn't know which direction I was going to go in the message today, but I did write down some things that I thought was interesting. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Isn't that good? You thought you were going to hear something really authentic. And it is. Light is quiet. Light is attractive. Light, you can't taste light. You can taste salt, but you can't taste light. You can see light. Light protects. Keeps you from stubbing your toe. Light protects. It keeps you from taking you into darkness and separating you from the things of God. Light is amazing because it comes so quickly and so powerfully that it can change your life. Repentance is a grieving away from sin into the arms of Jesus Christ. And so when you have something in your life, the Bible says that Jesus said concerning the Christians, you are the light of the world. That's not a prescription. That's a description of God's children. When Jesus Christ said, you are the salt of the earth. Notice he said, you're the salt of the earth. That's not a prescription. That is a description of a Christian. He's preserved. The truth is preserved. He brings flavor. He brings hope to people. He seasons people's lives. He brings healing to people as we bring the salt into the earth. Then there's the light. The light you can't taste. But the light will help people find their way around. The light is for the Christian to walk the path of righteousness. But the light also is to extend into the darkness of other people's life. And for other people that are in darkness, they see the light and they come to the light. They're willing to lay down their sin and come to the light. See, a Christian is called the light of the world. That's not a prescription. That's a description. And we are the light of the world. As Christians, we are the light of the world. So, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Yes, we do. Yes, we do, because we were where you were at. If you think you're authentic and there's no one like you and nobody hurts like you and nobody's been deceived like you and no one's ever went through the pain you went through, I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. Because I guarantee you, there's people in this room that has suffered the same despair that you've suffered. There's people in this room that's went through the same heartbreaks and growing up that you went through. I guarantee you, there's people in this room that's went through the same heartaches that you went through. Maybe in different versions, but they have went through hard times. And I want you to know, you are not, I mean, you're just in the pile of sinners like everybody else. You're no special. I hear people say, well, wouldn't that be wonderful if that really good singer and that actor would give their heart to Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be a great tool for Jesus? No, it's not any better tool than a gutter drunk. God can make you what he wants you to be without the devil's help to make you what you're continue to be. God remakes us. Woo! You say, well, God won't forgive me. I've been too bad. That only works with people. People might think you've been too bad, but that doesn't work with God. Say, well, I've been so bad. I told God I didn't want him. Really? You think God's moved by that one? God, I don't want you. I hate you, God. I don't even believe in you. You think that's going to hurt God? He's a big God. He can take your insults. God doesn't change his mind. Now, you come up to me and tell me after service that you don't believe I exist and you think I'm scum and you think I'm a horrible preacher, you might ruffle my feathers a little bit and I might remember it for a while. But when you do that to God, God just laughs, just chuckles. Man, just a little kid. Amen? Remember the story about the guy that was on a soapbox and he was preaching away? He was an atheist. He got up on a soapbox, said, there is no God, and I can prove it. And he stood up on that soapbox and hollered, there is no God, I'm an atheist, and I can prove it. And I'm going to prove it right now. He said, God, if you're up there, which you're not, strike me dead. And one of the little boys in the crowd, one of the young teenagers in the crowd, rolled up his sleeve, walked up and punched him in the nose, knocked him plumb off the soapbox. And that atheist laid there on the ground, blood going out. He said, what'd you do that for? He said, God was busy. I was filling in for him. Woo! Well, God is busy, but I don't have to fill in for him. Right? Listen, I don't know what it is in your life that there's darkness, but God wants to put light on that. Amen? My wife, she in the room? Okay, I speak freely now. She's not in the room. I found my beautiful wife down in Galena on the hill. She never shuts a door. She was born on a hill. The doors just shut behind her when she was growing up. Either that or she was born in a jail. When Judy gets up, she never shuts a door. And she turns on every light in the house. As she walks past the light switch, she flips it on. And before she's in the house, 5 minutes, every light in the house is on. Every door in the house is open. I go behind her. I shut every door. I turn out every light. And I turn out lights, and Judy comes in behind me, turning on lights. I turn out lights, she comes in behind me, turns on the light. I shut a door, she comes in behind me and opens the door. I shut another door, she comes in behind me and opens the door. And I said, honey, why do you open all the doors and turn on the light? She said, well, I want to be back. She said, I like my house to be active and able to go wherever I want without going through all the labor of turning, opening doors and turning on lights. And I said, woman, you're wearing me down. Now, don't you go off and tell her. You will. There's darkness in your mind. But if you'll learn to open the doors and let the light come, God will change your life. It's really kind of easy. It's really easy. You say, well, what I got to do, crawl on my belly for 2 miles before I'm... No, you just got to open the door. You just got to say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. God, you're God, I'm not. God, you died for my sins, I accept that. God, you want me to live in light, and I'm ready to live in light. God, I need you in my life. Here's the door. I open it up. Come on in, God, and take over. And God will do that. And it's a much better life than trying to wrestle with things. It's a much better life to have peace, because light is peaceful. Light is beautiful. Light is glorious. Light is powerful. And God is light. And there is no darkness in him at all. And God is, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And now he's made each one of us Christians, we are the light of the world. I think they thought on the Mount of Olives, I need a bigger light. When they thought of their little lamp, I need a bigger light. So Jesus, two chapters over, says, I am the light of the world. And the Holy Spirit is the olive oil that keeps us burning and keeps us going. Isn't that beautiful? We just need to let the light come. God's not here to embarrass anybody. God's not here to hurt anybody. God's here to set people free. He's here to touch your life. Because there's nothing in your life that's worth going to hell over. And there's nothing in your life worth ruining your life over. There's nothing in your life worth destroying your life. I'm here to tell you, being a Christian is the greatest thing on planet Earth. Being a Christian is the most exciting, most wonderful thing that I've ever been. And I intend to stay that way for the rest of my life. And Jesus intends to preserve me and keep me. Being a Christian is wonderful. Don't wait till you get ready to die and try to be a Christian. Come to Jesus. Let him come into your heart immediately. Then you don't have to fear death. I'll show him. I'll show him. I used to tell my mom that. Mom would spank me, and I'd say, I'll show her. I'll go out and run away from home. And I ran away from home. I got a half a block down the road. I thought, my goodness, I don't think I can get back home. it's getting dark. And Mama's sitting there on the porch. And I come back up. I say, Mama, will you let me back in the house? Mama says, you opened the door. You can open it again. You can choose. My mama was smart. You don't go chasing two-year-olds or three-year-olds across the store. I was up at Dollar General a few years ago, and this little boy was grabbing candy bars. And he was just grabbing one after another. And the mother said, now, she said, little Johnny, I don't know whether it's little Johnny or not, but little something. Little Johnny, don't do that. We don't have the money for that. Now, put that back. And he'd say, no. And he'd get another candy bar. She'd say, well, little Johnny, we can't have that right now. Put that back. And I said, ma'am. She said, what? I said, I can take care of little Johnny. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to warm his biscuits up. When I get done with him, he'll go into the business of putting candy back on the shelves. Oh, I'll never do that. I said, well, put up with your brat then. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Now, I go through the store and grabbing candy bars, and Judy says, put them up. No. That's not true. But anyway, I'd like to. Love candy bars. Stand with me. We're going to give an invitation. You need to open a door and let that light come in. You see, it's a little creepy to see lit up fingers trying to go under a door that's lit up, and you've got your dark room and you're hiding in that dark room. It's a little creepy. But I want you to know the lit up fingers of God, the light's creeping through that dark under door of yours in that dark room. And God's saying, I want in there. The light's saying, I want in there. Open the door. I want in there. Would you do that today? Would you open your door in your dark room and let that light in? We're giving the invitation. Josh is going to sing. And I want to encourage you, as you make your way to this altar, as you step out from wherever you're standing or sitting, you step out and make your way to this altar. As you're coming, the door is opening to the light of God. And that light will come, and that light will drive out the darkness of your mind, the darkness of your life. Would you do that? Come on.